Good morning, Tuesday. And just like that, a Teamless Tuesday coming up again in the NRL. Great to have your company today. There's been some sporting action overnight. Travis Head has gone bananas. 102 off 41, fourth fastest century in IPL history. That's a start point for today. Welcome to Breakfast with Vossi and Brandy. If you are listening through 1170 S here in Sydney, we give you hugs and kisses if you like. I don't know. But if you're listening anywhere on the app, we do love you. We really do. We appreciate you making the switch and coming on board. And if you're listening on the podcast, we appreciate that you've gone to the trouble of downloading our show or segments and are now listening back to it. We're not here to bribe you, but we do have prizes today. Greg Alexander, good morning. You come armed with a sack of goodies.
I do, Vossi. I mean, I just enjoyed the way you opened up there, professing love for all. Yes,
yes, we love yous all.
Good, we do. We love yous all. We got some good giveaways, which I will keep you in suspense.
Okay, giveaways. Good.
Yesterday, Vossi, I didn't catch up with the Graham Annesley address immediately. I got home. I actually went to a funeral yesterday on the Central Coast to celebrate the life of Bob Lanigan. Former Newtown Jet.
Bobby.
Yeah. Bobby played for the Jets in the 60s. Spent a life in rugby league. It was a great life that he had. And the clubs that he was involved with, Wigan, he did a bit of Japanese rugby. The Warriors,
right,
of course,
yeah,
where I met him. Yeah, bit of rugby action, Bob. Johnny Lewis was there, and he was in the corner in the fights for Costas Yu, Jeff Fenwick. So very good friends, Bob Lanigan and Johnny Lewis. So it was good to catch up with Johnny yesterday. And there was a few old Newtown footballers there, and there was a few younger players that had had, you know, things to do with Bob throughout his rugby league life. He was an NRL ground manager for 23 years, Bob, and I used to see him regularly at the footy, and passed away last week. But yes, condolences to Glenda and the family, but what a man he was, Bob Lanigan. Just a true gentleman. Again, talk about Keith Barnes, true gentleman. Bob was cut from the same cloth.
Toe poker, leading point scorer in the game, 1966, at a time when you had greats like Keith Barnes and
Eric Sims.
And Bobby was the leading point scorer in that season. That's a somber note, but also a proud note. You got to celebrate the life of a great man, of a gentleman, and a great man. There, Keith Barnes' service comes up today as well. Well, tomorrow,
Wednesday. Yep.
For Golden Boots. So yeah, it hasn't been a great time in terms of the passing of these men, but at the same time, it does give us a chance to pay tribute to them, and we will do that. And you've done that with Bobby there. So that meant that the Graham Annesley address yesterday, which is now a must, has become a must watch in your life. It's become part of your life.
Yep. So we didn't get home till about 6 o'clock last night, and I whacked the address straight up. Now, I couldn't, for some reason, it wouldn't load the whole thing because it went for 59 minutes. Like, it was an hour of viewing. Yesterday, so
solid.
I just did
a solid session.
I just went to the individual pieces. So I had a look at the, you know what? I didn't look at the disruptor. I just saw the heading under it and said, "There's a lot less of these incidents." So our crackdown is working. So I didn't even bother to listen to that story. I watched him speak about the Chevy Stewart offside, which was confirmed. So the Casey Badger,
So Titans should have got a penalty. And won the game.
Well, he said not a penalty. He said a set restart. It's very strange. And he spoke about the play the ball speed, and there was controversy out of the Newcastle Roosters game. Back end, a lot of complaining from officials about the speed or the lack of speed in the play the balls for the Newcastle team. He went through a whole range of play the ball speeds for Newcastle and the Roosters, and then spoke about play the ball speed from last year to this year.
Sorry, I missed it.
In the end, he said everything was good. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I missed that one. Have you got the quote though? The philosophical quote of what rugby league is? You said something to me this morning at the production meeting, which almost made me, cry. Well,
there was a question. Yeah, there was a question raised about the. Well, you know, Graham, how are the referees? They're missing, you know, big moments. We've been sitting here now for six rounds, and you've been apologising because your officials have missed moments, and you've come here to, you know, on the Monday morning and said, "Yep, we got it wrong." Mm. Graham said, "Rugby league is an imperfect game, played by imperfect players, controlled by imperfect referees," and that was it. That was the summation.
Nice. Yoda.
Everyone felt better.
Rugby league game imperfect. Yep. Rugby league players imperfect. Yeah. And commentators, imperfect commentators. Can we add that to that as well? Imperfect commentators.
However, last night,
I don't think we can give license to the bunker to be imperfect when they're operating with video evidence. That's where I will stop short of talking about expectation delivery. I can't cop it.
Okay. One of the questions raised too was, why didn't the bunker intervene with the Chevy Stewart offside? And he said, well, that isn't their case, and the fact that he was on the line allowed us to judge that he was offside. And he said, "But we haven't got a field with lines all over it, so if we're not going to judge it, whenever." But
right,
you're getting me. So the line on the try line, so the bunker can't be involved in that situation. Mm. There we go.
Okay. Now, how would Casey Badger feel today? In all seriousness, how would she feel in the, well, it's now over 24 hours since
the game on Sunday night? Well, she'd be feeling good because Ricky on Sunday stuck up for her.
To begin
Ricky,
with, yeah.
Ricky backed her.
Yeah, Ricky backed
her. So, yeah.
But that was part of Dez. I mean, the Dez-Ricky stuff. The Days of Our Lives. Where's the Days of Our Lives music, Charlie? I mean, seriously, the whole lot of this, can we go back now that we've mentioned Ricky? So now we're talking about Ricky and Dez involved. It was more than just the banter in the press conference. There was
a bit of tunnel action.
Well put. Bit of tunnel action face to face. Did he basically tell him to get? Is that how it went? To F. Well,
yeah.
And then put three other letters after that.
Must have.
That rhymes with Michael Luck. if you're playing along at home, is that common, Brandy? Because tunnels are very public places at rugby league matches. Just people tuned in now probably might not have been there before, but they're very public places. If you're going to have a bit of a spat with someone, you know it's going to be watched, and in all probability these days, filmed by someone. Yeah. Just about.
But who, you know. Does anyone mind a bit of banter between the coaches?
Banter?
Former teammates.
Abuse? Former teammates.
Well, abuse, yeah.
A little
jab. Up yours.
Are you surprised at where it came from?
Well, no.
Do you think Craig Bellamy would do it?
Well,
Wayne Bennett, Ivan Cleary.
Well, I don't know. Depending on how it all happened, you know, did Dez come down, you know, with his hands between you, throwing the hair back and sort of just accosting Ricky and saying, you know,
yeah,
bup, bup, bup. And then, well, then you get a reply. So I don't know how it occurred.
As if they went punch on in the tunnel, how good that be?
Well, they're too old for that.
No, are they? Too old for that?
Yeah. You need.
All right. Danny Glover. Too old for this shit. Right. Well, anyway, it's just interesting that rugby league keeps delivering stories, like angles, like so two coaches have a spat, then the Casey Badger element, then Graham Annesley comes out with that beautiful line, the imperfect game played by imperfect humans, refereed by imperfect referees. And
that's not the first time I've heard that from Graham.
But how many mistakes did they then highlight? How many times did they find out offside? Yeah. Wasn't it they did a breakdown of like 78 times? Or do you think that was necessary? Is that transparency necessary, that level?
That probably wasn't, because that shocked me. There was another 50 occasions where a penalty could have been blown.
Okay, let's put line in sand right now. Line in sand. 1300 01 1170 is the Great Southern Bank open line number, and of course you can text in. How much transparency do you want? Like, how much admission of faults, mistakes, things that were missed? How much do you want as a fan? What do you want? Do you just want the biggies addressed? Or do you want this breakdown, critical analysis, breakdown, boom? Would you just like the big ones? Almost as if we limit it to, you know, try-scoring plays and sin bins and send-offs. And that's it. That's all that we talk about rather than breaking it down. Do you want to go that way or do you want the whole lot? Do you want the smorgasbord? Do you want all you can eat when it comes to Graeme Annesley and dealing with the controversies out of every week? We go through it game by game. 1300 01 1170. How long would that go for? What if they did do 8 games? You know, we talked in the terms that you've discussed there with
half the day. It'd be half the 4 hours.
Have an intermission.
When I was looking to watch the address later, as I said, you know, about 7 o'clock last night, when I saw 59 minutes, I thought, oh, I haven't got 59 minutes in me.
No, right, no,
not live, Graham. I'm happy with the way he wants to explain things.
It's a bit random. It's not the whole lot. You know, it's not the whole dramas in the Tigers Dragons game, and every game would have had its questions.
Of course. Yeah.
But you
every
pick
game
and
would
choose.
Well, I think he just goes for the biggest ones, the ones that create the biggest story. So the biggest headlines and the more controversy that it's perceived to be having on the game, he'll answer that. That's where he goes to, I'm sure.
Does Graham need a warm-up guy for his show? Do you think we could
stick someone in for three or four hours?
He could probably do with some help.
Yeah. Charlie Gassers put his hand up. He said, I'm willing to duck down there on a Monday and leave work.
Just sort of an encore Tradies News in a nutshell.
Yeah,
just as the warm-up guy for Graham Annesley. But that's the issue. Look, we're not being flippant here. How much transparency do you want? How much admission of mistakes? How much analysis do you want post-game on a Monday, the Graham Annesley session, or in some written form that the league puts out a review every Monday that's accessible to the fans? Do you want that on the website where they go through game by game? Do you want that? 1300 01 1170. And probably the second question of it, does it make you feel any better? When there is admission of mistake, do you feel justified, vindicated, better?
Well, I don't think
are
it's
we achieving
there
anything? Are yeah, we achieving well, anything?
Yeah, I think we are. We're explaining the game. I think we are. If you're a fan, I'd tune in because you do learn something about the game. It might be annoying, but I like it.
On Backpage, now we're talking a little bit about Jai Gray, and we were pretty excited to see Jai in action the other day. Small sample, of course, but we've now seen him Charity Shield pre-season challenge, then play NRL and look very much at home. Different sort of player to Latrell Mitchell, does everything at 100 miles an hour. I've been trying to think about, and I'll tell you where I was talking. I was talking to the news agent yesterday about South Sydney's defence, as you do. And he asked the question, so it's his understanding that a fullback like Dylan Edwards talks. Does the fullback run the defence? So I ask you, Brandy, does the fullback run the defence? Is Latrell Mitchell a good talker in defence? Have you heard anything to the contrary? Like Dylan Edwards, think of Billy Slater, all the Melbourne players. Cooper Cronk says that Slater ran the defence. Like he's the full voice at the back all the time. Is that where South Sydney are being let down defensively? This isn't pile on Latrell Mitchell. This is talking technically here.
No.
That he doesn't have the voice in defence at the back for South.
Mm. Well, that I can't answer. Wrong. I don't know if he does or not. But that's interesting. Yeah, because the fullback does have a huge influence over.
Is that the critical element in the modern day defence? The fullback has to be vocal.
He's got the numbers. He's counting numbers. Yep. He's looking at where they're coming, and he's pushing blokes into position to try and shore up the line. To make sure that they've got the right numbers on either side of the play the ball.
Yeah, so then you look at South Sydney, Jai Gray. So if a young fullback comes into the side, does he have to be that voice? You know, that's pretty tough. That's a big call on a young bloke coming in, worrying about everything else. But
role? But if that's been part of his game, if he's a fullback, that's part of his game.
That's
anyway.
Part of it, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not anything new to him. It might be new. He's telling more senior players and NRL
that's
regular
probably a mental thing you've got to get over that you're
correct.
Telling
once you get over
barking
that,
orders.
Once you get over that, that's part of his game.
So you can't answer the news agent here, the question on
Latrell
Mitchell?
I can't answer whether Latrell is what sort of voice Latrell is behind the ruck. I would say there's a voice there, I don't know how often and how consistent he is.
Hypothetically speaking, Jai Gray goes okay next two matches against pretty good, you know, stellar opposition. If he goes okay, are you at a point now that you're thinking, well, I've got to try something different with Latrell? I do have to move him from fullback to centre? Would you be doing that?
I don't know. I'd have to. Well, yeah, depending on how Jai Gray goes.
Hypothetically, he goes well. Better than okay. He goes really well. He goes Jerome Buller-like, has an instant impression, try saves, bomb defusal, line breaks, boom.
Yep.
Do you reckon you make a decision to say, handles everything? Mm. Do you move? Do you move Latrell to the centres?
Gee, you'd have to think hard about it. Yes, you would.
Yeah,
you would have
can't
to
pin
think
Brandy
if it,
this
if it
morning.
Works. If it like if he works, if he's good, then you got a decision to make. Absolutely.
All right. Well, it's something we can talk about with David Riccio a little later on. Just breaking away from that, you sort of Lerman. You called him Baz Lerman there. Yeah.
Sorry. What's his name again?
Pretty dramatic day yesterday. Mm. This Justice Michael Lee, his turn of phrase, I don't think I've heard better. You know, you escaped the lion's den but went back for your hat. I mean, seriously, what a summation. What about the end of hours, like pages and pages and pages to produce that line?
Can we stop reading
that
about
that? That
was
a beauty.
Is this the end of it?
Yeah, this, well...
Is this the end of this
unless
bloke?
It goes back to court.
Not that anyone, but, like, I don't care about him.
Mm. No.
Chap.
No, but it was a tumultuous finding yesterday. Oh, yes. But I just wanted to acknowledge the turn of phrase. And the other one saying, when you go back to your office at midnight, the last thing you're thinking about is writing emails about French submarines. I thought that was a good one too.
Right. Should we like, be laughing was a little, about this? Is it? Yes.
Yeah.
And then that led immediately to the question of, so if he lost, how's he paying the multi-million-dollar legal bill?
$10 million. Yeah, so the other side, if he had to pay the costs of $10 and $5 million.
We can ask Lee Hadjipantelis.
We can ask. He's on today. Very handy that Lee comes on the program today. Wash up to the Masters, Brandy. What did you think? Scotty Scheffler, that was quite enlightening, wasn't it? He says, I just want to go home. I'm not even excited about the jacket in some way. He was saying it respectfully, but he just wanted to go home.
Well, that was in reference to his wife. You know, Jim Nantz said, what would you like to say to your pregnant wife who's about to have a baby? And he said, I just want to go home. You know, he kept it nice and simple. He's very good. Like, the fact that he was able to, and the course was so tough over the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and the fact that when he made a bogey or a double bogey, you know, and he didn't do that regularly, but when he did, he just had the ability to come back with birdies. Like, the three birdies in a row on the back nine. Like, that's pretty special. Like you said, they all say it. The back nine counts. Back nine on Sunday is where it's won and lost. He won it on the back nine.
Did you see the suggestions of legendary sports writer Rick Riley on X, on Twitter, Scotty Scheffler? If it's a boy, Augustus. Mm-hmm. If it's a girl, Georgia. It's nice. Nice touch.
Good.
Augustus or Georgia.
I like it.
Yeah. So Scotty Scheffler, definitely just an out-and-out champion. So good. And the NBA, if you want to give us a call on that too, give your overview of that. It's been pretty – well, we now know the playoffs, it's on, and the play-ins. Both the play-ins and the playoffs, you've got to get your head around that. We've gone a little over time in our first segment, but that's okay. We're just talking. We want you to join the conversation right now on the Great Southern Bank Open Line, 1300 01 1170.
We're here for Bryden's Lawyers, Fossey. Unable to work due to injury or illness, contact Bryden's Lawyers.